الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah we seek his assistance we seek his forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah so we demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement, ma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters of this deen. And every newly invented matter of this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strang. And every strang is in the fire. Continuing with wujub uluzum al-jama'a wa tark al-tafarruq by Jamal ibn Ahmed ibn Bashir al-Badi. Continuing where he left off with the book, the obligation of holding on to the jama'a and leaving off division. And we were covering the chapter evidences from the Book of Allah Ta'ala supporting or encouraging us to hold on to the jama'a and showing us the obligation of holding on to the jama'a. And we come to the third piece of evidence, and this is where we left off last week. As our shaykh, he says, hafadahullah, the third piece of evidence, the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 71, and the believing men and the believing women, they are friends of each other, or friends and protectors of each other. And then the shaykh, he continues as he explains, as he says, this ayat, it establishes for us the beginning or the foundation of al-wala, or the friendship or the protection between the Muslim men and the Muslim women. And this basic principle is more broader in its understanding than the principle before it, which we had ended off with last week, of being brothers together. And this was the issue, if we remember, about one brother being the brother to another brother amongst the ummah. And now the shaykh is dealing with something more broader than that. And this is being friends and protectors of each other, and this is on a broader scale, as the shaykh is implying or stating. The shaykh continues, hafidhahullah, as he says, being brothers to one another as individuals, that he's the brother of him and he's the brother of him, like that. The shaykh, he says, that this is only a part or a branch of the bigger picture of al-wala, or the friendship and protection of each other. And the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Sa'id al-Qahtani, he says, as he defines what al-wala is, he says that this wilaya, or this friendship and the protection, it is the helping and the loving and the honoring and the respecting and the respect and the mutual love
of each other openly and hiddenly, or something like that. And then our Shaykh Jamal Badi, he continues as he says, if the rope or if the bond of the brotherhood as individuals, me being a brother to him and him being a brother to him, if this has weakened amongst the Muslims, and this is a part of al-wala, then it's only more proper that the whole issue of wala itself is even weaker. And then the Shaykh, he says, this is because of reasons. And for the most important reason, that the wala has weakened amongst the Muslims is the division of the Muslims into different groups and sects and parties, so much so that the issue of al-wala has become tied with somebody's group or his personal jama'ah and not with Islam. And this is an incorrect picture of the word of al-wala or the understanding of al-wala in al-Islam. And then he says, Hafizahullah, that a Shaykh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd, that he says, indeed, this breaking off into groups, and then he uses a phrase that I don't know, and this is common of our Shaykh Bakr Abu Zayd, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best for the meaning when he says, وَإِنَّ الْحِزْبِيَّةَ ذَاتَ الْمَسَارَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He goes on to say that this is a new type of form of which our Salaf was not upon, and the biggest obstacles, and this is amongst the biggest obstacles from gaining knowledge. And this is one of the main reasons for the division of the Jama'ah. And how often has the rope of unity, of Islamic unity, been overwhelmed, or the Muslims have been overwhelmed by the misfortunes of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, it seems as if the Shaykh is trying to say, if I can summarize his statement, is that this new type of division in Islam, that everybody breaking off into his own group, and then they're loving and hating and showing this friendship and protection for the group instead of for the bigger picture of Islam, then this is the biggest misfortune that has overcome the Muslim Ummah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Shaykh continues, as he says, the second important reason that has led to the weakness of the wala of the Muslims is that the Muslims have rushed ahead first into the affairs of the dunya, and they are competing with one another over this dunya, and that this is the reason of hatred and enmity amongst the Muslims. And now that the people's relationships are based upon the affairs of this dunya, and what would the type of relationships that at best will vanish soon, and that this is the incorrect understanding of how our friendships should be developed or based upon. And the Messenger and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have warned his ummah from competing in the affairs of this dunya. And he explained that this will lead to the destruction of the Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that this had happened to the nations that have come before us. And in the hadith that's narrated by Amr ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala, abshiru وَأَمِلُّوا مَا يَسُرُّكُمْ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فَوَاللَّهِ مَا الْفَقْرُ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ تَبْسُطَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا بَسَطَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ فَتَنَافَسُوا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا فَتُهْلِكُكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْكُمْ. And this has been collected by Al-Bukhari Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, let me give you glad tidings. And then there's a word, I forgot the meaning of it. I swear by Allah that it's not poverty that I fear for you, but that I fear for you that you would get much of this dunya. just as the people who came before you had gotten much of this dunya. And then you would compete for this dunya the way they competed for this dunya, and then you will be destroyed just like they were destroyed. And the narration comes on Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, من أحب في الله وأبغض في الله ووالى في الله وعادى في الله فإنما تنال ولاية الله بذلك ولن يجد عبد طعم الإيمان وإن كفرت صلاته وصومه حتى يكون كذلك وقد صارت عامة مؤاخاة الناس على أمر الدنيا وذلك لا يجد على أهله شيئا. And this is from the book Al-Wala wal-Bara by Al-Qahtani, where he narrates on Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he says, whoever loves for the sake of Allah and hates for the sake of Allah and befriends for the sake of Allah and disassociates for the sake of Allah, then this is the only way that you're going to get the wilaya of Allah, or to develop your close relationship with Allah. And slave of Allah would never find the taste of Iman or the sweetness of Iman, even if he makes a lot of salat and a lot of fasting, until he develops this wilayah with Allah by loving and hating for the sake of Allah and befriending and disassociating for the sake of Allah. And then he goes on to say, radiallahu anhu, that nowadays friendship amongst the people in general is based on the affairs or the worldly affairs, and that won't help anybody anything. And then the Shaykh Muhammad Al-Qahtani, he adds or comments on this statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu with this statement, in our times today, the times of wealth and dunya, loving the people in general has become for the sake of this world, and it's not going to benefit anyone anything. And that this ummah of Islam will never be upright as it's supposed to be until it turns to Allah, and that it unites on love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah and befriending for the sake of Allah and severing ties for that which Allah has commanded us to sever ties with, and then and only then will the believers be happy with the success of Allah. Therefore, the success or the cure of this weakness that has afflicted the Muslims, the cure is only to return to the jama'ah and to leave off the division, and to use the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our judge, to reflect on them, to understand them, and to return to that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and his companions. And then the Shaykh, he moves on, as he says, the fourth piece of evidence that encourages us to hold on to the jama'ah is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ, from Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 1, where Allah says, fear Allah and then make a good situation or mend the relationship amongst yourselves. And the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, from Surah Al-Hujurat, verse number 9, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the two believing party fight, then make up between the two. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat has encouraged us to make a good relationship amongst ourselves, and to make this good relationship amongst all of the believers. If and when we find that there is some division from the jama'ah that they're supposed to be upon, and the only thing that clouds up or impure or pollutes the unity of the believers is the division. And this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in calling us to be united is only in defense of helping to keep the Muslims together as a jama'ah, loving one another and being united. Allah knows best for that translation of the Shaykh is saying. And he continues as he says, that which has destroyed the togetherness of the Muslims and separated them from their deen, as it comes in some of the hadith that are authentic, or something like that. And then the Shaykh continues as he says, indeed, making up amongst the Muslims is from amongst the best or most magnificent ways to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Except that the Muslims, they have paid attention only to making up amongst the Muslims when it comes to the affairs of this world, like the issues of marriage and business transactions and inheritance and things like that. And then when it comes to getting the Muslims together in the fashion that is more important, and this is in the affairs of differences amongst the Muslims, then the Muslims are negligent of getting the Muslims together on these affairs. And they are the affairs of differences when it's not permissible under any circumstances to differ in those issues. Like the affairs of this deen, from our aqidah and our behavior and manners and our ibadah or our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those affairs that are based on only the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And then the Shaykh, he says, he's bringing another little chapter in here, as he says, the position of our Salaf al-Saleh in relationship to making up amongst the Muslims in the affairs of the aqidah and the mannerisms and their ibadah. And the Shaykh, he continues as he says, if we take a look at the seerah or the lives of our Salaf al-Saleh in this issue of aqidah and mannerisms and ibadah and keeping the Muslims together and making up amongst the Muslims in these issues, then we see many examples from the magnificent ulama, and we see their successful efforts in bringing Ahlul Bid'ah and those who oppose Ahl Sunnah, bringing them back from falsehood to the truth. And here we have Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma going to the Khawarij inside of their own camp, and then debating them, and then defusing the doubts that they had, and then those from amongst the Khawarij returned to the truth from those who Allah had wanted for them guidance and safety, and then only a few remained behind on their bid'ah, and that was because their desires had took control of them. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned where this debate had taken place, or where it was collected from the books of hadith. And we hope inshallah ta'ala in the future that we would have a talk on this debate between Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah and the Khawarij, so that we can have inshallah an example from our Salaf al-Saleh to see how they handled Ahlul Bid'ah wa Dalala and the efforts that were made to bring them back to the truth, so that we could try that also to get the success that they had, and the successes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Our Shaykh, he continues as he says, and here we have Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah being very firm in the field when he was alone by himself, making very clear and expressing and promoting the aqidah of the Salaf in the time of very intense and difficult and very intense circumstances and difficult situations. And he was debating the opponents of the Quran and the Sunnah without fearing the blame of anyone. So much so that he stood on the truth even when the people The Shaykh is saying that Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, that he was firm in his defense of the Aqidah to Salaf and the promotion of the Aqidah to Salaf even in the most difficult circumstances, as he debated the opponents of the Kitab of the Sunnah, and he wasn't afraid of anyone. So much so that when the position of the leader of the Muslims, the Khalifa, when he opposed the position of Ahl Sunnah, and he forced the people to an incorrect position in opposition to Ahl Sunnah, that even in light of that, Imam Ahmad, he was firm in defending the position of the Aqidah of the Salaf. And our Shaykh Jamal Badi continues, as he says, we have the example of Abdul Aziz Al-Kannani, rahimahullah, as he was impatient for 1 second when he heard of the introduction of the bid'ah of Bishr al-Marisi and those who were with him in Iraq, until he traveled from Mecca to Iraq after he made the istikhara to Allah, and he relied on Allah by making his dua. So Allah had made him successful in defending the position of the truth and destroying the bid'ah and giving the proof to the people. And as soon as he got to Iraq, he hurried to debate the people of bid'ah, every single one of them, all by himself. He established the evidences, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, made him victorious over the people. Even though he had exposed himself to death, if he wasn't able to convince the Amir or to silence the opponent. And then we have the example of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, as he debated the people of bid'ah, every group and every division and every jama'ah and all of the individual people, as he debated the group called al-Bata'ihiyyah, however you say that. And he debated the group al-Bakri, and he silenced all of them, and he established the evidences against them, and Allah made him victorious over his opponent. And that many of the people had adhered to the sunnah, and the sunnah was victorious, and it brightened the atmosphere or what have you, so that everyone had become clear with the light of what was correct or something like that. And this spread amongst the people. And even up until now, you have his debate and his knowledge and his defense for the sunnah. You find that the Muslims are still reaping the fruits of these debates up until today. And how many examples do we have in the history of our Salaf, of the brilliant history of our Salaf al-Saleh, around this important issue of establishing the proof and evidences on the people, and spreading the beneficial knowledge, and defending the sunnah, and crushing the bid'ah, and making up amongst the Muslims with the correct knowledge, and making up amongst the Muslims, and not the way that some of the people nowadays make up amongst the Muslims with this emotional, superficial type of making up amongst the Muslims. And the brilliant ulama of our Salaf al-Saleh, they stood firm, or they played their part in this obligation, and they defended the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they made victorious the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they fought against bid'ah and deviance until these great ulama, they had considered the promotion of the sunnah and the fighting and waging war against the bid'ah, that they considered it to be better than worship or rituals, and they considered it better than the nawafil of fasting and making salat and other than that. And they say that this was because the worship or the rituals of fasting and making salat, that the benefit is only for the one who does it himself, and it doesn't benefit anyone other than the one who does the actual fast or the salat, as opposed to the one who defends Allah's deen and makes the sunnah victorious and apparent to the people. and crushes the bid'ah, because then the benefit not only goes to the person, but the benefit is in general for all of the Muslims. And that which the ulama of Ahl Sunnah have established from defense of the deen of Allah, then this should be considered as a sign from the signs of the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave glad tidings to his ummah with his statement that will make everyone who follows his sunnah happy, and everyone else who is upon the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy. And this is his statement: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين حتى يأتي أمر الله. Where Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in authentic hadith, and we'll cover it later on in the book inshallah, he says, there will never cease to be a group of my ummah on the truth victorious. And another meaning is that they will be well known until the commandment of Allah is established. And we have a magnificent example in this, and a good warning for us in the seerah, or the way, or the lives of our Salaf al-Salih, and the minhaj of the Prophet sallallahu, and their minhaj of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and giving the da'wah to Allah and preaching the message to the people. And what we will mention inshallah is some pieces of advice and some lessons if we reflect. And the first one is that it's compulsory on everyone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with following the narrations of our Salaf al-Salih and treading the path of the manhaj of the Prophet, or the prophetic manhaj, that Allah has brightened their understanding and their insight or their vision, and the ones that Allah has blessed with beneficial knowledge that's taken from the prophetic source, that which is pure, that they handle the obligation of hurrying to making up amongst the Muslims, making up that which has divided the Muslims, that which the deviant mubtada'a sect have divided the Muslims. And this narrow-minded group or membershipism or something like that, and the affiliation to these groups. Let me try to summarize the statement of the Shaykh, inshallah. The Shaykh is saying that whoever Allah blesses with following the way of our Salaf al-Salih and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever Allah has blessed him with a good understanding and insight of this deen, the ones who Allah has blessed with beneficial knowledge, the knowledge which is taken from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this pure guidance, that whoever Allah blesses with this, then it becomes compulsory on him to hurry to unite the Muslims and to make up amongst the Muslims. And that is in the affair that has divided and ripped up and torn the unity of the Muslims. And this stems from the deviant bid'ah group and the sect of Muslims of this narrow-minded understanding and this strict type of allegiance to a group instead of Islam as it was understood by our Salaf al-Salih and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. The Shaykh, he continues with his next piece of advice, as he says, indeed, from that which is more compulsory than anything else on the scholars and the students of knowledge in our time and in every time, is that they give the da'wah to the truth with hikmah and beautiful preaching, and that they promote the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that they make clear to the Muslims the understanding of their deen, and that they encourage the Muslims to return to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that they warn the Muslims from bid'ah and deviance and going astray, and that they remove the doubt that the people of bid'ah and the deviance have placed amongst the individual Muslims and their gathering. And in doing so, this is the following of the narration, and doing that which is best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Shaykh continues with the next piece of advice, as he says, it is compulsory on the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, sincerity, and their da'wah to Allah.
and for whatever necessitates being sincere and giving the dawah to Allah. And what stems from that, or what is necessary when he's being sincere and giving his dawah to Allah, is that he doesn't group the people off into groups. Rather, he ties the people together with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the correct aqidah and the pure minhaj. And this is the way that you place the people upon the worship of Allah, Lord of all the world. And it's necessary and it's not permissible under any circumstances that this dawah is to any group or to any sect or to any specific sheikh. Rather, no one has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah. And no one has the right to be followed in truth except the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's no real affiliation except the affiliation to Islam. And there's no correct way except the sunnah. And there's no correct manhaj except the manhaj of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And then the Shaykh ends this section off of the evidences from the Quran and calling to the Jama'ah, which is a last piece of advice, as he said. So let everyone who is on this correct way and following this strong methodology, that he remains upon it and he relies on Allah Ta'ala, and that he's sincere in his worship of Allah, and that he keeps trying to raise himself to levels of perfection and of fear and of taqwa of Allah, because indeed Allah is with those who fear him and he is with those who try to perfect their worship of Allah, and Allah knows best. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. I just wanted to summarize, inshallah, very quickly in a couple of minutes. As tonight we have covered the third and the fourth piece of evidence from the Shaykh and encouraging us to hold on to the Jama'ah. And this is firstly that the Muslims, men and women, are the friends and the protectors of each other. And that when the Muslims have this general type of understanding that they're loving and hating and that they're befriending and they're disassociating with, is all for the sake of Allah. All of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us and prohibits us, that when we do this, then we would be better united. As if the Shaykh is trying to explain from this evidence, piece of evidence, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that when you get over your limited understanding of this deen, and that you realize that every masjid is not an Islamic state with a khalifa, and you realize that we're all Muslims, and we've all been commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to hold onto the rope of Allah altogether, and not divide. When you understand that, then you will make your friendship based upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of having your friendship based on he's from West Philly like me and he's from North Philly like him, or he's from this masjid and I'm from that masjid. But you make your friendship and you have your disassociation based on the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be with the righteous, then we're with the righteous. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to stay away from the sinners, then we stay away from them, and we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us around this issue of being united or disassociating ourselves from the one who Allah and his Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam commands us. And then the next piece of evidence is the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he commands us to make up amongst ourselves, and that it's compulsory for the Muslim to mend the relationship of the Muslim, not just as individuals, but as a group of Muslims. We have been commanded to mend our ways together and to make up from our differences and to be united as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, and to stay away from division. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he went so far to say that when the Muslim, when the believing Muslim party fight, to make up amongst them. And the Shaykh, he went to explain that this making up of the Muslim after they have separated themselves one from another, that this making up is in the affairs of the aqidah and in the affairs of the mannerism and in the affairs of the worship. And this is the making up of the Muslims more so than the affairs of the world, like buying and selling and marriage and whatever. But that what is more important than that is that the Muslims make up by agreeing on the aqidah of our Salafus Salih. And that the Muslims agree that Allah is the only one that has the right to be worshipped. And that the Muslims agree that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only one that's going to be followed like that, absolutely. And that the Muslims understand that their affiliation is with Islam. And that they understand that their only way is the sunnah, and that they should set the path or the correct manhaj or methodology is that of our Salaf al-Saleh. So when the Muslims talk about, let's bring the Muslims together, the Shaykh is not saying, let Imam so-and-so shake Imam so-and-so's hand, or let Imam so-and-so and Imam so-and-so and Imam so-and-so sit together every 3 months. But the Shaykh is saying that when we say make up amongst the believers, make Imam so-and-so's Aqidah agree with Imam so-and-so's Aqidah. And make Imam so-and-so's Aqidah agree with so-and-so's Aqidah. And this is the Aqidah that's based on the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of our Salaf al-Salih. And that we talk about our mannerism. And we talk about our worship. That this is what we're going to unite upon. And really this type of unity is the correct unity as we see. That's based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. But on top of it being correct, you see that the people will go the way that they will go. And that this isn't new, but from the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that the people who are upon the correct manhaj, that they debated and they refuted the people who have went astray, or the people who are bid'ah, or the people who have left the way that was correct, that the people upon this correct manhaj, they were quick to defend this manhaj and this aqidah and this proper worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it cost them their lives or whatever it cost them, that they defended the correct way, and this is the only way to unite the Muslims. And there's no other way to unite the Muslims except the way that we find in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as explained and backed up by the evidences of the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the explanation of our Salaf al-Salih. So this is what we wanted to present today as we end this chapter of the evidences from the Quran that prove that the Muslims must be united together, and explaining on what and how we should be united. And if anyone has anything in his heart that makes him want to unite the Muslims, then get the leaders of the Muslims and tell them we're going to sit down at the table to unite, and the first issue on the table is the Aqidah. But they want to say the first issue is the Eid Salat in one place. You tell them Eid is a ways away. Let's sit down right now and get this Aqidah together before that. And when we get this Aqidah together, let's sit down and get our mannerisms together. And when we get that down, let's sit down and look at the affairs of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they don't want to do that, because in their message they're still filled of bid'ah and deviance and straying from that which is correct. So they never want to sit down at the table when you say let's unite on what is correct from the aqidah of our Salaf al-Salih. Well, let's unite and let's get our worship in sync. Because if our aqidah is in sync and our worship is in sync and our mannerisms is in sync, how are we not going to have a united Eid or united whatever? But when his aqidah is off and his worship is lax, and his mannerisms have nothing to do with Islam, tell me how we're going to unite except on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger and the way of our Salaf al-Salih. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. I guess if there's any questions, we'll handle it after the salat. Inshallah.